Welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman here with Scott Dunford, and we have another special guest today here from within the ABWE family, and I'm pumped to talk to Brad Winkler here. Brad is, I would say, one of the humblest men that I know, right, Scott?
And so I always assumed it was a front, but we'll go with that.
Well, one of the humblest other than Scott, right?
Sorry, Brad.
Put me on the spot.
The truth is, I think throughout this building, there's few people that are more trusted and that more people go to for not just professional things, but personal advice. And just his pastor's heart that he brings to his role here is a gift to our organization. It's a gift to me and my wife, Hannah. And we're really grateful to have him speak to a topic that is crucial, but it's probably not the first thing that people usually think of when they think of missions.
No, it's important. And that is something that Brad has brought to his role. He's the director of pre-field ministry, as well as the director of member care. And the member care part has something you've just kind of grown into out of a passion. So rather than us just talk and tell your whole life story and continue to embarrass you, Brad, why don't you share a little bit of your background, your history as a pastor, and why you came to ABWE, and your heart for member care.
It's great to be with you guys, and thank you for inviting me to join you and to share some things in regards to caring for missionaries. I grew up as an MK for a short while with my parents in Mexico, but then my dad pastored for many, many years as well as was a Bible college professor. And so my parents instilled in me a passion for God's holiness and a desire to bring glory and honor to God wherever he might send me, which sent me to Bible college, seminary, and in pastoral ministry, where I served two churches, a period of 28 years. And it was in my second church in Northeast Ohio where God began helping me realize my dream. I always wanted to be involved in missions. Actually, I wanted to be a missionary, because I thought the greatest thing anyone could ever do with their life was to be a missionary. And so I signed up for that, but only to find out in my last year of college that God hadn't called me. Mm-hmm. I'd called myself. And so I proceeded on into seminary, pastored First Church for 11 years, and then my second and final church for 17 years. It was there in that church in Northeast Ohio where the last 12 years there, our church sent out 19 missionaries, many of them through ABWE. So I was over at ABWE quite a lot, bringing more of our folks. And while the pastor there, as we were always discipling and mentoring the next generation of missionaries coming out of our church, we led our church to have an ongoing ministry to our missionaries, not just when they were home with us, but we would go and invest in them on the field. And there's where my heart and my passion really grew for the importance of caring for the missionary from our church. Well, fast forward to 2005, ABWE asked if I would be willing to pray and consider coming here and ministering to all of our new missionaries that were going out. And God was orchestrating my life and brought me to the place to where he was going to allow me to give 100% of my time and what I felt passion for, and that was missions. So now I get to do 100% of my time involving in missionaries and serving them. Really, what I do is I just pastor missionaries, shepherd them in the from the time they're appointed to the time God appoints them to come to heaven with him. And so we've been doing this a little over 12 years now, investing in godly people's lives.
That's awesome. Now, so your role in pre-field is a little bit of what you talked about there, and guiding people in that process of developing partners for their ministry and getting ready to go to the field, completing their trainings, fundraising, all those fun things. But specifically member care. So this is the podcast where we talk about theology and missions, right? And so a lot of people, especially if they're not involved in the world of missions, they might not be sitting around wondering about member care. But what I really want to pick your brain about today is why that's hugely important. So can you just define what that is?
Yeah, member care, basically, I view it as pastoral care, shepherding care, soul care. What we do is that we come alongside of our missionary family to promote spiritual healthy souls. And that is just a time of refreshing their heart and their soul so that they may thrive. And it affects every dimension of their life, because if a missionary is struggling spiritually, it's going to show up in other areas of their life. It could be physical, it could be emotional, social, their marriages could be affected, you name it. They need special care to help them move through their life and ministry for greater effectiveness.
So there was a recent study that was done, and you know, too, as we're having conversations with people who are prospective missionaries, that we counsel people often, one of the major preventable causes behind missionary attrition, so people leaving the field, you know, there's causes we can't prevent. There's family issues. There's all sorts of things
retirement.
That can happen. Retirement, yeah, health. But as far as preventable causes go, we've heard for years that the number one, and still one of the top factors, is poor team dynamics or team conflict. But one thing that this study drew out that is new to some of us is that a lack of member care was one of the top reasons as far as things that could be prevented. So why would that be an important thing?
I do agree with that study. It's the lack of member care is one of several reasons missionaries are leaving early. It is preventable. I know it hasn't been high on churches and mission organizations' radar to invest so much time in member care. And first thing people think of is number one reason why missionaries leave and come home is because they can't get along with their coworkers. Well, that's one of the reasons, but in my personal opinion, I don't think that is the main reason.
Right.
I think the number one that I have learned is that our missionaries feel lonely and discouraged, and they do need care for that. We need to give attention to that. And mission organizations, especially in the past 5+ years, are starting to wake up and realize they need to come alongside their missionaries and resource them and care for them in pastoral ways.
You guys were talking a little bit when I was setting up some of the microphones here about what are those unique we can probably think about what are the unique challenges that missionaries are facing that result in the need for such intense care. But specifically, Scott, some of the things that you've seen, Brad, the things that you see, you know, really hard challenges beyond culture shock, you know, acquiring a language. And there are some hard situations that they face.
Well, if I can just back up just a second, you know, because we said beyond culture shock. And the way you moved on is the way most missionaries move on from that. I think that isn't too light of a thing. We all underestimate the amount of stress that you can take and still respond in a healthy, normal way, much less a spiritual way. The stress that a missionary goes through in leaving your home, saying goodbye to everything you know, getting rid of all of your belongings, packing them up into 6 totes, getting them on an airplane, moving across the world to a place that you've been very seldomly, if at all, learning a brand new language, brand new culture, brand new food. Mm-hmm. Everything you know about how to live is useless to you now. Every cultural interaction you have is backwards, and you really feel helpless. And then adding the sleep challenges, everything that goes into that, children adjusting. I can remember dropping my kids off at this little kindergarten because we believed and were told this was the right thing for them to do, and hearing them screaming as we would ride on our bikes to go to our language courses. And that took a toll on our kids, took a toll on us. And yet, in the middle of it, we didn't realize we were going through this massive cultural shakeup. And so every other relationship we had that was going on was heightened and intense, and every discussion was more intense than it normally would have been because of the incredible amount of stress we were feeling. And yet, we at the moment didn't recognize what we were going through. And those we were working with didn't recognize, because what everyone on our team was dealing with the same thing. And so kind of heightens, I'm gonna kick it over here to Brad. But like at this point, like how does a good member care team can speak into those situations that are just ordinary for every missionary and they don't feel like that's a problem?
Right. Just a point that you made there. I mean, they're going through all of this in unfamiliar territory, meaning they don't know the culture. It's not their culture. It will be their home culture. And that produces a lot of stress. And stress, as we know, leads to trauma. Stress leads to trauma. And trauma, if it goes unchecked, it leads right into burnout. And they don't even know how they got there.
Right.
So, that's things that we need to give attention to And there's many different resources that we can help with and we can talk about. But our missionaries need folks that understand where they're at to be able to come along beside of them and help them work through that.
Right. And churches struggle because they're sending out their most godly people. And so like, right. Hey, they're godly. And so when then a conflict arises, the response is often, well, they're godly. I know them. Yes. But godly people under incredible amount of stress without care. Mm. And then you also divorce that from the people who know them the best. And,
right.
And then there's identity issues. I remember struggling when here I'd been a pastor for 7 years and I get to the field and my teammates are like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't care what you did before. Like, you don't know anything now.
Right. You don't know the language. Right. You don't know the culture. You can't even speak.
Right. So my whole identity was shaken in some ways. And that was a more of a spiritual crisis than I realized.
Yep. Mm. That is so true.
So how can someone notice if they are approaching burnout before it's too late? What are some of the telltale signs?
Well, think through this. It's, you know, stress, just everyday stress. We all have that, but you compound it in the arena of the unfamiliar. You don't have any support. All your support has been pulled away from you. Now everything is on you. Everything is dependent on you. To be very transparent, I've been through burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know now on this side of it what signs to look for. But someone who's never been through that, they'll wake up one morning and they will not know what, where they're at, why they're even there. But, you know, missionaries normally have great work ethics to a fault to where they get so busy that they are too busy and they think they have to be the savior for everybody's problems.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a lot of times they're so busy that they just heap it up on themselves and to the point to where they start getting frustrated, irritable, to the point of they didn't want to get up. When they wake up in the morning, they don't want to talk to one more person, and they start snapping at people. And those are just some early indications that something's amiss here.
And when you're in the middle of that, and I have been in the middle of that, my response was, well, people are jerks. It isn't that I realized something was necessarily wrong with me right away.
Yeah, I think we need to remind ourselves that missionaries are not just big superheroes that we put up on a pedestal. Churches put missionaries
ordinary.
On a pedestal. Right, they're ordinary. Yeah. And they're just like you and me, and left alone with all the support taken away from them, stress is going to catch up to them somewhere along the line unless they have some preventive measures in place to help them.
Yeah. So think about member care and people are like, okay, I get it. It's stressful. So the missions agency should provide some, you know, checking in from time to time, and the church should check in and, you know, we visit out every now and then. That seems simple enough. What do people get wrong when they think about member care? What are the misconceptions? Well, you know, so in mobilization, the misconceptions that we face are that we're always out on the road recruiting, that we're the ones, you know, standing up in front of crowds of people at Urbana or something like that. But the reality is there are people doing that. But more often than not, it's over coffee. It's through relationship. It's even phone calls and emails, sometimes for months at a time, or as people are figuring out their lives. So there's misconceptions on every level. What are the misconceptions with member care?
Well, first off, we've already mentioned that we have this misconception that missionaries have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
They know all the answers and they are super Christians and they don't need help. But even if they do need help, I think the misconception is maybe by the church that the mission organization is going to take care of it. And that's a misconception. Or just the missionaries' friends back home think that they're okay just because they got an email from their friend. But for the person back here in the church, life goes on as normal. And they have their network of relationships and support. What they don't understand is the missionaries don't have it. They're somewhat on their own, depending on if they're working in a team. And how big is that team? Are they working in a remote outpost that they don't see other Westerners but once a month at the team leaders meeting or at the team meeting? Those are some just misconceptions that quickly come to my mind.
It is also, I can remember, you know, growing up and hearing missionary stories. And as a pastor, I got a chance to really get to know one of the older men in our church who had been a missionary, and kind of walking through really a lack of care. I mean, here he buried two of his children in the desert of North Africa, saw their health and everything just deteriorate. And one of the things that he shared was just even how he had seen some of the older missionaries that he was working with. This was back in the 50s now when he was there, who were old, had been there for generations, had almost gone mad because of just accumulated stress and lack of care. And often when we think of care, at least when I've thought of care, and you've done a really great job of helping correct my thinking on this, it's like, hey, I'm having a crisis, and then like the ambulance shows up.
It's reactive.
And maybe it's how are you doing, and that's what we think of as care, or it's, you know, I lost a child overseas, or I had a serious mental, serious breakdown. And then the follow up after that, and you're arguing that member care shouldn't be reactive, it needs to be proactive.
Yeah, we want to be responsive, but we want to be responsible with the care that we give. We don't wait until there's a crisis. Actually, in some cases, that's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. And one of the things that member care needs to have built in as far as a mission organization goes, and really a church, we can talk about that later, but we need to have a plan of what I call wellness visits. You know, don't call member care to come in when there's a crisis, because generally that's too late to help in particular needs, some needs. Why not have member care, pastoral care is what I prefer to call it, pastoral care built into the missionary's life from the get-go, and then maintain that wellness visit, much like you would go to a doctor to do your yearly checkup. Have a spiritual checkup. Regularly have a spiritual checkup, not only through our pastoral care teams, but those that are on the field, our directors and administrators that mingle with our missionaries, they also are part of the care ministry to our missionaries, checking up on them.
I think one of the real benefits of what you and your team are doing and trying to do is create a outpost that is a little bit separate from administration. Because I know if I'm Alex's boss on our org chart, so if Alex is struggling with something that he thinks could cost him his job, is he likely to come to me?
No.
I'm going to go to Brad.
Right? So, but the way the organizational structures are set up within churches and mission organizations, when pastors are struggling, when missionaries are struggling, they're going to be very reluctant to go to the person who controls their continued employment. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean, but they still need that care. And sometimes that care will lead them to resign or bring up the need that will end their employment. But having a place that people can talk to and go to outside of the administrative structure is critical.
Outside of the administrative structure and outside of possibly just your sending pastor, you might have a great relationship there. But, you know, in some situations, they can pull the plug too in the same way that the administration can.
Right. And how all of that works together is that you're all on the same team. Administration, your sending pastor, member care, our pastoral care team here. But there's got to be a safe place, safe person. Your team leader may be, if you're a missionary and your fellow missionary who's your team leader, they are kind of your administrator, boss, I guess, on the field. But you can go to that team leader for some things, but there's other things that you won't go to him because he represents administration and it's not a safe place. And if you have a problem, and maybe that problem, that team leader is part of the problem, or your regional director over your region of the world is part of that problem too. They don't feel safe to you anymore. So right. where are you going to go? And that's why we here at ABWE, as well as other mission organizations that I know personally, we keep separate administration from member care. Member care is not administration, yet we still work with the sending church. We still work with our leadership to make sure that we are giving the right kind of care at the right time. It comes back to being responsible and responsive in giving our care.
It seems like there's a triangulation of care that needs to take place in a healthy organization. And I know you wouldn't come on here and say, hey, we're perfect here at ABWE or any mission agency, but it's a striving toward getting better. But it's equipping people on the field to provide care to their friends and teammates. It's working with the local church, which is responsible for the care of their sent missionaries, and then working with your office here in the headquarters of trying to coordinate some of that. So how do you see that happening, and especially in relation to if we have pastors listening that are going like, hey, that's my job, or saying, oh, I don't want that job. That's your job, Brad. How do you see the local church and the organization working together to really provide care for a missionary?
I think it requires all of us to joining together. We all have a role on that. But for me, I mean, I'm a pastor, and I believe in the local church, and I believe it is the local church's responsibility. Actually, that's why God put the local church into existence, is to reproduce ourselves. I mean, he's already given us his vision, and that is the Great Commission. We cannot fulfill the Great Commission without sending missionaries. Where do those missionaries come from? They come from the local church. I think they're in Acts chapter 13. We all know that passage well. They're in verse 2, whenever the church was were together, the leaders are mentioned there by name. They're having a worship service. They're fasting. They're praying. And the Holy Spirit says to the church, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There's a twofold call there in that verse. There's a call to the church to do something. There's a call to Barnabas and Saul to do something. That tells me, since there is a twofold call there, that tells me there is mutual ministry, mutual responsibility, mutual obligation, and one can't do it without the other. Mm-hmm. The church sends, and the Barnabas and Saul goes. And so that tells me, as a pastor, that it's my ministry too. It's not just my missionary's ministry. God's given each of us our part. We're going to have to give an answer.
Yeah.
So part of that sending, it's more than just, well, brother, here's $100 a month. We'll see you in 4 years kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. No. Church, how are you going to care for them now that you've sent them? It's your responsibility, mutual responsibility. And so for me, guys, I think that there is a level of care, very critical, very vital care, that can only be given from the sending church. Mission organizations can't provide that type of care. I am tired of hearing when I visit our field teams. I hear it usually on every trip my wife and I take. We do pastoral soul cares to field teams, just their wellness visits. Somewhere along the line, one of the missionaries always says this, maybe not these exact words, but this is what they say. Well, you know, Brad, we've been here now about 2 years, and we have yet to hear from our sending pastor and anyone from our sending church. Mm. And they go on to say, we feel lonely and abandoned. Mm. Brothers, that should not be. Mm-hmm. I think there's vital care that can only be given, that type of care that only can be given from that sending church, that church family that sent them out. Right. We can provide that. Right. I mean, provide some, but not like the sending church. The foundation to member care must begin with a local church.
I didn't have that experience. I mean, I know a lot many to do, and I want to share from the positive side of how churches cared for us in ways that were meaningful. With our sending church, we had people visit us. It was so great to get to see friends from home. You could just download your heart to them in a way that you just couldn't with other people. They just have known you. They watched you grow up in some ways. You know, I mean, it was beautiful. They knew our needs and responded to our needs because they would hear of ministries we were doing and tried to find creative ways to help us meet those needs. I had one particular pastor. This wasn't a sending church, but this was just a great friend and a supporting church pastor that would call me. And here I am halfway around the world, literally 13 hours away. And you can do this through Skype, through email.
So yeah, it's easier
phone
now
calls
than ever.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to arrange it. But he'd call me and say, hey, how's your relationship with your wife? You know, are you being a good husband? Are you caring for her? How are your children doing? Yep. How are you doing in, you know, in your own moral purity? You know, are you guarding your heart in these areas? And having someone that would ask me direct questions, but also he was caring. He wasn't like he wasn't condemning. He was just genuinely cared. I mean, boy, like those calls and those touches just told me that he cared about me beyond like, hey, praying for your brother. Because we all know in the Christian world, like praying for you, like, hey, I'm praying for you, often means let's end this conversation and move on to other things, right? It doesn't always mean I'm literally praying for you. It just means, okay, I think the conversation's done. You've shared enough of your heart. Let's move on, you know? Yeah.
But what that does to a missionary, whenever their church, their pastor takes the time to do what you just described, such healing.
Yeah.
Such refreshment.
And let me say also to churches that listen, or pastors, understanding that missionaries have this ability to understand when people have stopped listening. And it's hard for missionaries because they realize when you're a missionary, you're experiencing things that people back home can't get their mind around.
Yeah.
And you start sharing all that God's doing. And we have all sat through missionary, you know, missionary presentations and people are talking about Li Ping or Javier and they show pictures and our brains just go whoop, you know, and our eyes roll back because we have no idea who these people are. The names aren't familiar to us and we can't really comprehend that anymore. And missionaries know that feeling when people stop listening and really just want to get back to talking about the things that are going on back in the hometown and don't have the capacity. So a great thing for a church to do is to understand that missionaries need to share their stories
multiple times
and create the time to let them just download and try to really force yourself to listen carefully and ask good questions and maybe even take notes because they need to know that people are connecting with their experience. And missionaries should know and do know that, yeah, of course, the people back in Michigan or Ohio or Pennsylvania don't completely understand everything. But to know that they really care, are invested in your ministry, that is a huge element of care, right?
Oh, it is. That's one of the best things that anyone can do, not just a pastor or the church leadership, but just any one of us could do for a missionary is just learn to listen. Be a good listener. Mm-hmm. Listen to their stories. And oftentimes I hear missionaries say, I'll come home on furlough and in the first week and everybody wants to say hello, hi, how are you? But when I start telling them my story, they just kind of just flip. There's a switch that's flipped and they don't listen.
Yeah.
And so, but missionaries need to have some people that will genuinely give them their ear and let them tell their stories and sometimes multiple times. That is so incredible of a ministry to offer to your missionary. Just learn to listen.
Mm. And that goes hand in hand with a tweet that I just saw from Jared C. Wilson, who we're trying to get on the show, and he told us he was going to do it, so we're working on scheduling that. But
use the pressure on him.
Yes, I am. Let him know the pressure's on. But he just tweeted out, it's almost as if the pastorpreneurial / CEO model of ecclesiology isn't healthy. And it's true. I mean, at the end of the day, if you as a pastor see yourself as a CEO, and I'm not saying there aren't business sides to running a church and keeping the lights on, there certainly are. But if your view of yourself as a pastor is primarily as an organizational leader and a public speaker and a bottom line guy rather than also as a shepherd who's appointed over a flock, these are skills to develop that are going to help you in the rest of your ministry too, not just with your overseas missionaries. Because the truth is your members here need that same kind of care that your missionaries are going to need just at a different level.
Yeah, and for pastors who have a large congregation, for him personally to be able to pastor and shepherd their missionaries going out just himself, it's going to be very difficult. The church that I was last with for 17 years, we were a sizable church, and there came a point to where I realized that I could not alone shepherd, pastor each of these missionaries, and so you have to think of some other ways of doing that. Why not get your church engaged with your missionaries to do the care? There's different ways. You could put together a missionary care team for every missionary that you sent out. That's what we did. It was very organized, and instead of me caring for that one family, ended up being there was 10 people that gladly took that on as their ministry and did 100% better than what I could. And if you can't put a team together, how about coming up with finding maybe a couple that has those shepherding gifts that could be the liaison between you and them, and contact them every month. Just talking with them, just a touch from home, really does a world of good to our missionaries. To hear people have not forgotten, they are loved, they're being held accountable.
Yeah,
it goes a long way.
It's almost like you're equipping the saints for the work of ministry or something.
And just so you don't think that we're kind of beating up on churches, saying they're not doing a good enough job. I think churches, it's not that they don't want to care. I don't think it's been on their radar.
Right.
And then even if it is on their radar, they don't know how.
Right.
I think it's just a lack of ignorance. And with education, it can be addressed.
Well, and it's the squeakiest wheel gets the most grease kind of thing too. So chances are the congregant who's there in the flesh coming to you with lots of baggage and things that they're working through on a weekly basis is going to get more of your attention. And you're mm-hmm. assuming that these high capacity ministry people that you sent off are doing well. And yeah. because there is that geographic separation there, it's easy to assume that things are going okay.
But a well-equipped lay person yes. can have such an impact.
There's a lot of training out there they can get, a lot of resources they can get.
And some for so to the pastor listening, you know, look for someone in your church who's got some cross-cultural experience. It could be an MK. Mm-hmm. It could mm-hmm. be a former missionary. It could be a military person, mm-hmm. a military kid who's bounced around for, and knows a little bit of what it's like to be disconnected and giving them some equipment to feel like they have some empowerment to lead right. this. I can think of one church. I'm going to say their names because they were impacting. So my kids, it's been a number of years now since we've been on the mission field. It's been 7 years. And we hadn't been to this one particular church in Toledo in probably 10 years. So my kids have forgotten a lot. Mm. Like my oldest is 18. My youngest is 12. And we were driving by Toledo and my kids said to me, Christiances live in Toledo. That house is the greatest house. They were the best hosts. And they hadn't been in that house in 10 to 12 years. But Mark and Jennifer Christianse, who are on the mission team at the church in Toledo there, cared for the family so well that's remembered, you know, and they came out and visited us. You know, Mark came out and visited us when we were overseas. And that relationship with a church that wasn't even our sending church because of a couple. I mean, Jennifer grew up in the mission field and has a real heart for that. And it's a huge, huge care impact.
That's awesome. So, Brad, two questions for you as we sort of wind down. One is, what would be some resources for churches that want to do this better and some of the ideas that Scott already gave? Where would you direct them? And then the second question is, what would be some resources for the missionaries who are out there right now who are thinking, man, I'm close to burnout. I'm starting to notice I'm being short-tempered.
First, for the missionary, it's so critical, so vital for missionaries to have accountability partners. They're on the field with them, but even back here at home, that these accountability partners are people that love, trust, believe in you, know you. You want those kind of people that are safe, but that can speak truth into your life. Not only just good listeners, but they know the word too, and they can speak truth into your heart and life. And just reach out, our missionaries, to reach out to, if there's no one there on their field that can do that, but then reach out to, if you're ABW missionaries, and this happens often, they reach out to me and our member care team because they're seeing that we're doing more and more of this. For the local church, for the sending church, that church, let's say, that's at ground zero. You know, where do I start? This isn't self-promoting, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope it's not self. It is self-promoting. Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and admit it. There is a simple workshop that I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Sustaining Church Workshop or the Caring Church Workshop. And it's an interactive four-hour workshop that I do in churches upon invitation that just talk with the church, whoever can come to show up. But I really love having the leadership there. And we just explore the very topic that we're talking about today and what care is going to look like in your church and caring for your missionaries. That's one. So that is a workshop that's available to anyone and everyone on how to care for your missionaries, not only now, but while they're on the field away from you. Another thing you can do is there's a lot of great books out there. I'm thinking of Neil Perillo's books, Serving Ascenders. That's becoming a classic that everyone is reading. I read it as a pastor back in the 90s when it first came out. And from his book, I created a member care team manual that we used in our church. That what grew out of that was this four-hour member care workshop. Also, there is conferences out there. Barnabas International puts on member care conferences for not just agencies to come to, but church leaders to come to. They have a big one that they do first week in October every year. Pastoral training and missionary care for both agencies and churches. And so there's a lot out there. I mean, you can just Google it, and it's there.
And we'll put some links to some of these things into the show notes, and especially the workshop that you offer.
I'd say, too, you know, how you minister. Another reason why missionaries end up leaving the field is caring for parents that are aging mm-hmm. and caring for children as they come home for college and maybe yeah. struggle to make the adjustment to life in America and all that goes with that. You know, caring for MKs, knowing them on the field by just keeping in touch. Sometimes when we make a mistake is we think we see that picture of them on the fridge when they were four. And we forget that 8 years have passed and now they're 12, you know, but when they're in college, you know, churches sending care packages or making sure that, you know, they may have family they're going to be spending Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter with, but making sure they do. And if not, letting them know, they may just say no thanks, but at least they knew someone cared enough to ask and invite. Checking in on the parents, especially if they're in your, if you have parents that have said it's a hard thing to have your kids gone and it's a burden on the missionaries and the families. If the church is going to really be the family of God, then the church needs to do for the aging parents what the children who are serving overseas would normally do. And you could, you know, simply checking in on the parents, making sure the roof's, you know, redone or the yard is mowed. That's a way you can serve your missionaries is by serving their families well.
You know, whatever you do, however it's going to look, there's so many different ways that you can care. The bottom line is what we are seeking to do is to be good listeners, to have that ministry of presence in their life. And you can have that ministry of presence through Skype. It's so easy. Not just, you don't have to get on a plane and go, which would be phenomenal, but just that ministry of presence, listening, spending time with them on Skype, on the phone, praying with them and asking the tough questions. Whatever their need is, you can speak into their life with God's word.
Awesome. Well, Brad, thank you for joining us here today. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule here in the office and sitting down with us. And thank you for listening to the Missions Podcast today. Don't forget to rate and review and then subscribe and share this with all your friends so we can get this content in front of more people who need to hear it so that we can help connect the world of theology with the world of missions and inspire more people to go.
And please don't forget to be sending your questions to alex@missionspodcast.com along with any other ideas for future episodes. And until next time, thank you for joining us.